agencies haven't quite found the right balance between cybersecurity and accessibility when it comes to their data. It's been 2 years since the White House issued its strategy on information sharing and safeguarding, and the information sharing environment continues to steer efforts to achieve the administration's goals. Shmendra Paul is the program manager of the ISE. In part two of his interview with executive editor Jason Miller, Paul says there is movement on the security and ease of access question.
A lot of progress has been made on resolving and implementing government-wide policy on removable media. We run a performance management process on behalf of the White House with the agencies, and the data, as reported by agencies, shows that. More work to do on the insider threat side. That's a continuing challenge. Identity and access management has been highlighted for some time as a key issue, and there's a big focus on that. Progress is being made. I think there's more that needs to be done. A couple of things I'd highlight is we've been working with GSA on some shared services and helping support them around the Federal Identity Credential and Access Management Roadmap. The President's National Strategy for Information Sharing and Safeguarding calls for the FICAM as the basis for U.S. government federated identity credential and access management. We sponsored an effort with NSA, with the Committee on National Security Systems, to, if you like, port FICAM to the secret fabric. That was done successfully. CNSS issued a policy around that. We're having some particularly interesting work going on with our state and local partners. You've heard me talk in the past about the sensitive and unclassified networks, LEO, HISN, IntelLink, RISNET. We're expanding that federation, and we have about 500,000 registered users that have access to simplified sign-on because they are really a leading exemplar implementation of the federated identity and access management type ideas. We're also working with our state and local partners as they're looking to make recommendations around FirstNet, right, the public safety broadband network, the second to last of the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission to be addressed. That's pretty exciting because that's, you know, as we're talking to our state and local users, what they're seeing is the same message that I started with earlier. Let's leverage the work we've done over the past decade. It's not that we want to have a different approach for, you know, logging on and accessing through the wireless device and the wired device. Now, it is the case that there are unique issues in the wireless world about identity and access management, but this idea of convergence and using common frameworks is critical to what we do here at the ISE, and it's gratifying to see our partners being vocal in embracing that vision.
Let's go back to the work you're doing with GSA on shared services, the FICAM. I've talked with your staff before about the back-end attribute exchange, and there's a lot of progress, a lot of good pilots I know went on at the state and local level. Where is that program at today? Where's it heading in the future?
It does fit together, and it's quite compatible. We did the back-end attribute exchange. There's a current project around a secure attribute registry service. One of the things that I'd like to highlight, the Secure Federation I talked about, the different networks, the SBU Federation, among themselves, they've agreed to about 8 managed attributes that are common across that network, and they've agreed to federate those attributes. That's critical. So attributes like sworn law enforcement officer, or that whether a law enforcement officer has certain types of privacy training that are required to look at criminal intelligence information. Things like that now can be securely shared across the identity federation, and that supports policy automation, so you can do, you know, automated access and discovery of information over time. Another exciting application here is we've done a project with this SBU federation, something we called, and this is a little bit of a long name, it's a security-trimmed federated query. So what we mean by that is that you can actually configure the return results in the federated query based on the attributes and policy, right? So it's not, you know, traditionally what happened, right, is all the security happens at the network layer. If you can log in, you get full access to the applications and the data that the applications get to. This elevates the security to the information layer and does it in a federated way across federal, state, local users, right, and across different implementations. It's a pretty big deal, and it's been an interesting journey for us to get to that point.
When you talk about the current project for the Secure Attribute Exchange Service, how far along are you and GSA with that? Is it being tested? Is it being used? Is it just in that pre-development stage where we have an idea and now we're putting that idea into software code and policy?
So the back-end attribute exchange was built, piloted, validated, and now we're working through what's the approach to scale up. The attribute exchange registry, you know, where you can securely register your attributes, that's at the initiation stage. The fact that the SBU, the Sensitive and Unclassified networks that I talked about, LEO, RIS, HIS, and IntelLink, and there's a couple more coming online, but those four, they've worked out the protocol for sharing those attributes among themselves, but the idea is they will then migrate to use these other services as they're scaled up.
Let me shift gears now and go back to the broader discussion on information sharing. There was a 2013 report from the Government Accountability Office that found a lot of overlap, something like 91 instances between different criminal and anti-terrorism information sharing programs. Talk a little about your role, what you guys are doing with DHS, the FBI, to reduce that overlap, because I think this tags back to the beginning of the conversation when I asked you, well, there's a center for everything. Does that really diffuse how much information is being shared? And it seems like the GAO seems to think that there is too much overlap.
The GAO highlighted that there was an opportunity to better align field-based intelligence and information sharing entities. They talked about, you know, the Fusion Center Network, the HIDTA centers, the RIS centers, the JTTFs at the FBI. We've been working to align those networks, in particular the state and local owned ones, the Fusion Centers, the HIDTAs, and the RIS centers. And we've been doing it with our partners, with our state and local partners, and in particular focusing on specific shared mission equities. For example, there's a real big desire to move forward with deconfliction, right? Law enforcement deconfliction. This is a officer safety issue, right? The blue-on-blue violence kind of thing. But it's also the case that you might have long-running investigations on shared targets, and you want to deconflict those up front. Right. And by sharing information effectively, you can start to develop insight and tactical intelligence and leads. And finally, resource allocation. The State Bureau of Investigation mandated a deconfliction policy across its internal cases and found 20% of the cases had some connection. Who can afford just to not look at that kind of overlap from a resource allocation perspective? So there's three key deconfliction systems: RISC-SAFE, which is used heavily in the Western United States. Two HIDTA-based systems. One is SafetyNet, the other is Case Explorer. So over the years, we've been sponsoring conversations and helping to facilitate these folks working together. And I'm glad to report that we've actually been making progress, and that progress is accelerating in the last while. Two of the three systems are interconnected. The third one will be connected by the end of the year. As important, they're connecting to their federal counterparts. Their DEA has some systems, one called DART, one called DICE. And EPIC, the El Paso Intelligence Center, which is a part of DEA focused on supporting Southwest border and state and local law enforcement, is involved in this activity. Earlier in the year, the Deputy Attorney General signed out a memo highlighting the importance of deconfliction, again, because of the officer safety issue, but also just, this is a best practice for how to do professional law enforcement. And it's a great example of how we're helping these centers align and be able to work together so that you don't have the perception of fragmentation, duplication, or overlap. They each have independent missions. They all do different things, but there's an opportunity for them to work together and leverage common policy, business processes, technology. So this initiative I just talked about, tying together the deconfliction systems, hits all of those different food groups, and it's wonderful to see this. These aren't small things either. These are operating at scale. I'll give you an example. RISC-SAFE in the Western United States, I think they do about 2,000 deconflictions a day, and about 30% of them actually have some overlap, either in time or location. That's a big deal from, just an operational impact with law enforcement and public safety in this country.
Let's look out 10 more years from now. First of all, does the information sharing environment still exist? And if so, what does it look like? Where are you heading over the next decade?
How it exists and what it looks like, it's hard to tell. I think that the function we perform will be, fully integrated into the federal executive branch. What that looks like, it's hard to tell 10 years out. I do believe that, this theme of there's an inherent amount of complexity in our public safety enterprise in this country, but it's getting more and more aligned because of the impetus around terrorism-related sharing, and we're seeing the impact that investment more broadly. When you extrapolate out 10 years from now, somebody that looks at the environment, I bet they'll have to really squint and look hard to see the kind of complexity that you and I see today, right? Going back to the question about aligning field-based entities, yeah, it'll look a lot more aligned. It'll look more coherent. And so I think that's going to be a big part of it. I think you're also going to see more institutionalized use of the frameworks like Project Interoperability. We're at the early stages, the nascent stages of our work with the Standards Coordinating Council. I'm incredibly bullish on that work. It's great to see the enthusiasm by our private sector partners, the standards organizations around project interoperability. So I have high expectations for how those interoperability frameworks will be better packaged, made more accessible, adopted by industry, and more readily available so that we in the public sector can buy solutions from our partners in industry that are increasingly interoperable.